It's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artist. You're listening to the Music's Journey podcast, brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With her special guest, here's your host, Kim Sear.
Saskatchewan's own Canadian country singer-songwriter Shantaya is here to talk about her brand new single, Had a Good Weekend. She has been nominated for two SCMAs, one for Album of the Year and Songwriter of the Year for 2 cents. We are going to be talking to her about her lyrics, the song, and the artist. Welcome, Shantaya.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're so happy to be able to talk to you. I know that you're out in Nashville right now. How is all that?
It's been amazing. I mean, a bit of a wild ride, you know, coming during the pandemic. I never in a million years would have ever imagined myself moving to a new country, a new, completely new place all by myself in the middle of a pandemic. I mean, nobody saw that coming in the first place, but it's been a wild ride, and I'm so grateful and thankful that it's bringing me so many opportunities, and it's just an amazing place.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think you were running from it? Because it found you.
It found me. It did, in the weirdest time. I don't think I was ever running from it. I was always kind of hoping to run towards Nashville for sure. And it's just crazy, you know, the timing that it all happened. I'm the kind of person that I like to push through and see things through. So I started planning getting my visa before the pandemic hit. And then when that all happened, I was like, yeah, no, I'm not going to change my course. I'm going to keep going. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's just, I think we're all kind of learning that right now, is just finding ways to push through and still make music and, you know, keep doing our livelihood, our careers.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've had a really busy start with all of this. A lot of the fans may not know you when it comes to how you started your career. Let's talk about that. Let's just go to the beginning just for a second. When you started writing, really early, and it was because of a very special person that was in your life. Do you remember?
Tell
everybody about that.
Yeah, my great grandpa Franson, on my mom's side, he was not doing well, and he passed shortly after. But he was in a long term care facility home out in BC, and I remember we went and visited him, and when we came home, I just was kind of seeing, you know, him being gone, and wrote this song called When You're Gone. And it was the first time that I ever really fully wrote a song, you know, always kind of played with lyrics. Music's always been a part of my life. I grew up singing and learned how to play guitar at 6 years old. And so around that nine years old, I kind of learned how to put pen to paper and start kind of putting those emotions down, and losing somebody is, you know, prime example. When you're young, you feel those emotions, and it's kind of the first time you're able to kind of express love, mm-hmm. in a different way. That loss of a family member is heartbreaking. So, you know, that was my first recollection of putting my emotions down on paper and writing a song.
It's pretty incredible to be creative at that age and to have that natural ability to write about your personal life and have that natural instinct to be able to put it down on paper. So you naturally came about this.
Yeah, I think what's also, you know, I was actually just talking to somebody else about this, how when you're younger, you kind of have no fears and no, you know, you don't really care what anybody thinks of you. I was singing in competitions at such a young age, and mm-hmm. I just go up there and I do my thing, and I had no idea people were like staring at me. And as I got older, you get that awareness of people kind of judging you and seeing you for the first time. You kind of realize that, and then the nerves come in. But I think at 9 years old, I was just being me, and I was just not worried about what anybody else thought of it, or, you know, what people are going to think about it. And now you get older and you're always like, oh, what are people going to think about this? And you're always worried about how people are going to perceive it. So, mm-hmm. You know, at a young age, I'm glad that my parents put me in music at such a young age, because it really taught me how to be honest with my emotions and my feelings.
Well, you had that foundation, you know, at a really young age, yes. When you weren't affected by peer pressure and all that stuff. So, you know, it turned out to be a great thing, because by the age of 13, you had already recorded an 8-song album. that was featured. Yeah, and it was all original music. Yeah.
Are you serious?
13.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy.
You keen are you?
Yeah, I mean, I was just trying to outdo everybody.
But that's pretty amazing. 13.
It was pretty crazy. I had applied for, like I said, I'd been, you know, entering a lot of competitions in Western Canada, and the first little kind of thing that I applied for was this major grant. I don't think I'd ever applied for money ever before, you know, to be able to go in and record. And my parents, I don't think anybody really thought I was going to get it. And I got this phone call one day, and I remember it being September. It was right before school is starting up. And I get this phone call from a guy named Harrison James from Rockwell Radio. Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Hey, we want to give you $10,000 to record your original music in our program." So, it was pretty crazy. Got to go into Rockwell Radio and talk with him, and they like cut a check, and I went into the studio in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, and recorded 8 songs.
Pretty amazing to be able to just step into a studio in front of that mic and, you know, have the engineer in the background and producing your music. How did that feel in that moment?
I always say this was kind of the moment that really made me realize that I could do this as a career, and how much I loved just like every aspect of music, from performing to writing songs, and then being able to go into the studio and really bring those songs alive, you know, even if they weren't the best songs, especially at 13 years old. I was writing about like my heart being broken by boys that I never did. You know, it was just like we grew up listening to this music, and that's how we get inspired. I was listening to Martina McBride and Taylor Swift, you know, so it was like taking kind of what they're writing about and trying to put myself in those shoes. I loved to act. I was an actress. I did the plays and musical theater. So I also felt like writing was a way to kind of act in somebody else's life. Mm-hmm. So that's also one other aspect of writing that was so cool. And just stepping into the studio was like the coolest thing. And now it's my favorite part of the whole process with music, is being able to go into the studio and get creative.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing at the young age that you did. And then right into high school, 2015, that you got the chance to record 3 more original songs in Nashville with the CCMA and Juno Award winner artist Crystal Shawanda. How was that for you?
Oh, man. Crystal is, we're still in touch to this day. And, you know, when things sort of open up, they're excited that I'm here living in Nashville now. And I can't wait to be able to see them and write with them again. Working with her, she's just so humble and so down to earth. And, you know, all the success she's had going on tour with Reba and winning CCMAs and Junos and just, you know, signed with a major record label in Nashville. It's crazy that she's had all that success and just can be so humble and kind and offer up so many words of wisdom. It was so cool to see and humbling for me too, you know, and it was the first time I ever got to come to Nashville. So, it was just, my eyes were, you know, stars. I was just, hooked the moment we landed in Nashville. My dad came with me and he was hooked too. He would love to live here.
So, oh, I bet. I bet.
It definitely just started this fire for me. I was like, I'm going to live here one day. And I made it. So we're here.
You did. And in a big way. She's such a grounded person. And what a great experience for you to be going to Nashville for that first time. And to be able to work with her, because that's a really big influence to be able to see somebody.
And also kind of just consume you. And I think that having Crystal and her husband Dwayne to kind of welcome me to Nashville's open arms and, you know, bring me into this cool creative space and be able to kind of coach me through it was really special, because I don't think I would have known what to do with myself.
Did she give you any piece of advice because you were so young?
She really believed in me. And like, I feel like she was the first person to really, truly believe in my ability and my talent. And sometimes that confidence could lack. And she was always just there to remind me that I had something special and that I needed to use that. And I remember having a phone call conversation with Crystal and D-Way, and I'd sent my first ever single to radio, Crave You, at, yeah, 18, 19 years old. And she produced that one, and she would, they were just kind of like, you know what? Get those radio tracking reports. People are always going to have something to say. You just, it's water down your back. You know, it's just, you can't take anything to heart. You got it. This is a business, and you got to treat it like that. It can't be personal. People have personal preferences, tastes in music that might not line up with what you're doing, what you're putting out, but you still have to, you know, do what you love and put the music out that you love. So they were just, they're every little piece of advice she ever gave me and the guidance that they gave me was, so I was so grateful to have that.
Yeah, because in 2016, you had released that first single, Crave You, to radio, and then your sophomore single, Girls Like Me. And when you're talking about writing for yourself, what a great piece of advice, because so many times radio, like you're gearing towards what radio is going to put on, you're not writing for yourself. And that pressure that is there, because you've had such great success. You've played, you know, some great opportunities touring and opening for the Bellamy Brothers, Charlie Major, Kane Brown, and Emerson Drive. Most recently, Chris Lane and Cold Creek County. There's so many things that you have done in a very quick time. So being able to remember that people aren't always going to love what you're putting out there, but it's because of what they're going through in the moment, not about your music, right?
So totally.
Yeah.
I completely agree with that. And it's to each their own. Like, you know, it's people have different tastes, different, you know, styles. And definitely with new music I've been writing, sometimes I don't think my parents really, they're like, oh, that's pretty pop, or, you know, like, it's just like, yeah, but I want to write all kinds of music. I don't always just want to be stuck in one lane. I want to be outside the box, thinking outside the box always, and do what fires me up and fuels me to keep wanting to create music. Because as soon as you kind of feel like you're just writing for other people to get that acceptance and have people like you or play your music on the radio, I don't think you're going to continue to love doing what you do.
Mm-hmm. I think if you're writing, as you said, for the love of music, period, for what it's meant to you growing up, these are your life experiences and your influences. People are going to navigate to that no matter
what. Exactly. You're going to find your crowd. You're going to find your audience that loves your music no matter what you put out, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just finding your fans, your people that want to be your community and your tribe.
And you have them. I don't think you need to worry about that, right?
I think I'm working on it for sure. I think I'm definitely building a slow, loyal fan base. And that's also just, you know, that means a lot to me. I've never been somebody who expected overnight success. I know that this is a hard job, and it's something you got to work at and grind at all the time. So seeing those like numbers kind of grow, and they're coming to my page and they're listening to my music because they like my music and they found my music and I didn't, you know, go searching for them. And that's the most rewarding. It's when people find you and they love you.
Well, you've done an amazing job, you know, with your career and navigating through this crazy business, because it's not easy to break through.
It's
really
not.
Yeah. But you know that end of it, right? You know that end.
Yes.
Now, you've been on the live stage, as I said, with so many great Canadian acts and, you know, also in the States as well. What did that feel like for you on those big stages opening up?
Well, the Bellamy Brothers was my first taste. I was 13 years old. It was around the time that I recorded my first album and had gotten the opportunity through a competition in Regina, Saskatchewan. They asked me to open up, and I was kind of like, wow, like what does that mean? You know, at 13 years old, I was kind of like, what do I do? How do I do this? And I remember going, it was at the Pump Roadhouse, and this old, I don't even think that bar exists anymore in Regina, but they had this basement. And because I was so young, I wasn't even allowed to watch the Bellamy Brothers play their set. I was sitting on the stairs just listening after my set, and they came down after, and they were giving me I was like, I hope one day I can, you know, have success like you guys. And one of the guys was, I can't remember which one, but he was like, oh honey, you don't want to be like us, like any kind of laugh. It was so funny. But every single person I've had the opportunity to open up for has been so humble. And I've heard people, you know, meet some of their idols and just be so disappointed. But every time I've met anybody who I've opened up for, they've, you know, welcomed me into their green rooms or welcomed me into their, onto their tour buses with my band and have, you know, sat down and try to get to know me, you know, and, mm-hmm. and that's rewarding. It makes it, you know, kind of feel like somebody's maybe rooting for you or wanting to see you succeed as well. So that's always been very humbling, is having opened up for people who encouraged me, for sure.
It's amazing the Canadian country. It's a very small knit family. It's mm-hmm. very small network, and it's amazing how supportive our Canadian artists are, because they will root for you and get on there and hear a single that you've got, and they're out there liking your stuff just to show yes. that support. That's got to have been a pretty amazing feeling.
It is, and you know, it's cool too, because here in Nashville there's a lot of Canadians, and we all kind of stick together. I'm living with a Canadian, Crystal Lee from Sons of Daughters. She nice. Welcomed me into her, you know, home and said I had a place here, you know. Chris Buck was the one who got me in contact with Crystal and you know, writing with Jason Blaine, Patricia Conroy, just Aaron Goodvin. He's been a mentor of mine, and it's just so amazing how welcoming all the Canadians are here in town. Hung out with Tennille Arts a couple times, was just with Madeline Merlot the other night, you know. It's just, they're all so welcoming, and they're like, hey, you're Canadian? Yep, like, come on down, you know. So it's a very cool feeling.
Being the singer-songwriter, like that songwriter sessions, has got to be pretty amazing, sitting in doing all the writing that you've been doing.
Yeah, and what's really cool about being here full-time now is, like, I'm writing on other people's projects. People are now cutting songs that I got to be a part of, and as a songwriter, it's like I get to now play that role and not always be the artist. Or, you know, every time I was traveling down here, we were writing for me. It was writing songs for me, for my project, because you don't get that opportunity very often, coming down to write with these songwriters. And being here full-time now, I get the opportunity to be in rooms for, you know, pop sync projects and mm-hmm. and like all this cool stuff, like folk music and Americana. It's just, it's so cool, and it's just sparked so much inspiration for me as a writer.
Like you were saying, your dad and your mom might not understand, you know, the versions that you're singing a country, but it's so nice to be a part of this era where, you know, country is not just classic country, and we love it, because I love classic country, there's no doubt about it, but it's got so many different feels to it, and you're seeing Canadian country artists just explode, especially the women. It's amazing, and you're mm-hmm. a part of all that.
Yeah, the girls are absolutely crushing it right now, especially our Canadian girls, all over the place, you know. They're crushing it in the U.S., which is a big ocean. Actually, that's mm-hmm. something Crystal Shalanda told me, you know. Canada is a pond compared to the U.S. It's like,
big time.
It's ocean here, you know. So for Lindsay L. and
yes.
PR, you know, like for all these girls to just be like representing Canada, like mm-hmm. it's amazing. And I, you know, like you said, my parents, they're so supportive. I just have to say that they're 110% behind everything I do, mm-hmm. but they like their more classic country for sure. And sometimes when I'm a part of these pop projects, they're kind of like, oh, okay, like it's starting to grow on them, I think. But like,
they'll okay, get used like, to it. You know, they'll get used to it.
We support you, but yeah.
Oh, now you released 2 Cents in August of 2020, which was following up I Wish You Would. Tell us about that song, because that was produced with Doug Oliver, right?
Yes, yeah, Doug Oliver from Coal Creek County. Yes, we were working together for close to 4 years on that project and getting that EP out into the world. And it was a long process. I learned so much from it and grew so much as an artist and as a music business person, you know, being mm-hmm. in this business that it takes a lot of knowledge and education to learn the business side of this industry, and Doug definitely assisted in a lot of that. He got a lot of wisdom, and he spent a lot of time in the business, and it was really cool to get to, you know, keep. I actually lived in Toronto, outside Toronto, for about a year to kind of wrap the project up and be out there, do a couple photo shoots and things like that, and it was a great experience. And Two Cents was kind of the little underdog song for a little while. We weren't sure. Well, I was sure. I was 100% sure that this song was going to be a single to Canadian radio. And I wrote it with a fellow Saskatchewan native, Ryan Sorstad, and he's also here in Nashville. Write with him almost every day. And we just always believed in that song. It just had my heart. Like, it just had something about it that felt completely wholly like me. And I just knew it had to go to radio. Everybody had to hear it if they could.
So let's hear Two Cents by my guest, singer-songwriter Shantaya, here on Music's Journey.
You hook up, you break up, you make up. Girl, you know. Shot down, crash down. I'ma shoot you straight, no matter how this sounds. You've been chasing a million-dollar smile for way too long. It's hard, so cheap, you best get gone. Better walk away. I've been there, done that, cashed out of the map. Girl, you know his type. It ain't worth much, it ain't worth much, but I know. They talk good, they kiss good, but somehow it's still gone out of pocket. You want it bad, but it goes bad and ends bad. If you're asking me now, you don't take it.
Putting in her two cents worth, that is Shantaya. And now back to the Music's Journey podcast, once again with her special guest. Here is your host, Kim Sear.
What a great song. Absolutely great song. And I know
Thank
that
you.
I know Ryan's work and how good he is. And I'm so glad you've had that time to be able to sit down and write with him all the time. He's got such a creative genius part in when it comes to his songwriting.
He's been one of my biggest cheerleaders. One of the people that kind of just, Two Cents was the first song we ever wrote together, and we just clicked. My cousin is Brody Siebert. He's another Canadian country artist, mm-hmm. and he actually set up the write for us, and he was supposed to be there, and something came up, and he had to bail, and so I was walking into this write at the big ASCAP building on Pacific Row, and I was just so nervous. I was like, I don't know this guy. I'm Saskatchewan, but I'm lost. I was you know, 19 years old, and he just made me feel so comfortable. And he does that with everybody. He's like a big teddy bear. He, you know, he welcomes everybody with open arms, and very Canadian of him. And he's just kind of opened up so many doors for me here in Nashville, and he's always been my biggest cheerleader. I followed him down to Nashville. I drove behind him. He was home for harvest in the fall, and I followed him all the way down to Nashville. So he's been like a big brother to me, and we write. My best songs come from Ryan. You know, he's an incredible writer.
Well, you see, things happen for a reason, and you faced your fear walking into that room, and look what happened. Now you're nominated this year for, as I said before, the SCMA Songwriter of the Year for 2 Cents. That's pretty amazing.
I get chills every time somebody says it. I've never been nominated in that category before. Same with Album or EP of the Year. Just like, it really kind of is a validation of the work that you're putting out. And even though we try not to think about what everybody else thinks about our music, and it's still so rewarding to have your peers vote you into the final ballot for nominations. And, you know, I'm up against some tough competition. I wouldn't call them competition. They're all friends, Hunter Brothers and Hill Arts, and their music is amazing. So it's just an honor to be nominated next to them.
Well, you are home. You're finally home in Nashville, and you've earned it.
Thank you. It's been a wild ride, and I'm so grateful for it.
Well, you have now just released your latest single, Had a Good Weekend. You co-wrote that one with Ryan, too.
Yeah. He when he was home for harvest over a year ago, it was a rainy harvest season, and he had a day to drive into Saskatoon and sit down and write with me, and I had this idea. I had the first verse written already, and this, you know, this coarse melody that I thought was so cool, and just couldn't figure out how to place the words or where I was going with it. And Ryan comes in. He's like, "Oh man, this rain sucks." And I was like, "Yeah, it really does. It's got me a little down." And we were kind of like, "Let's not write a down song. Let's write something fun, upbeat. Like, let's get out of this funk." And Had a Good Weekend was born. It was also one of those songs that, the day I wrote it with him, it was like, okay, this is my next radio single. You know, the next batch of songs that come out, this is the one. And every time I play it at a writer's round or a show, people are tapping their toes. They're asking me about it after, like, "Can I find that song anywhere?" And I was always like, "Oh, not yet." And it was just, you know, that validation again that, hey, like, this is the song that needs to come out next. So I had it produced here by Grady Saxman. He works a ton with Luke Combs and brought in some of the biggest musicians here in town that just had so much fun playing on it too. And it was such a cool experience. And now it's out in the world.
It is. And we're going to play it right now. Had a Good Weekend by my guest singer-songwriter Shantaya here on Music's Journey.
It's 5 and we're leaving. Couple bottles of wine, the music's playing. Everybody swaying, everybody drinking. Yeah, you ain't gonna party alone. All the girls are slaying, got the boys are thinking that they ain't going home alone. Nah. We don't need a reason, we're just kicking out the weekend. Getting our chill until the night is long. Gonna do it all over again. Sipping on Grey Goose whiskey, feel good tipsy. Text and address. Leave it up to Kyle to get arrested. Yeah, he did. Got the room spinning, karaoke singing. Let's go, girls, tonight is on. You're living in the moment, rocking and rolling. Come on, y'all sing along. We don't need a reason, we're just kicking out the weekend.
Feel good, tipsy song. That is Shantaya and Had a Good Weekend. I'm John Marshall. And Shantaya, have you ever been to Climax?
Climax? I'm not sure what that is.
I'm holding my breath. It's like, oh, God.
It's a little town in Saskatchewan. I'm surprised you haven't heard of it.
Oh, my goodness. No, I've never heard of Climax, Saskatchewan. Is it, where is it located?
It's down by the border.
Okay. Yeah, see, right. And I grew up in Spiritwood, Saskatchewan, which was more north. So yeah, it's probably why I've never heard of Climax, Saskatchewan before.
maybe. I'm not sure if it's true or not, but there's a little sign at the edge of town when you leave it. It says, "Thanks for coming."
Oh my Lord.
I've never seen it, so I don't know if that's true or not.
You're not going to remember this. Just let that one go.
Climax.
Well, next time I drive across the border, I'll see if I can find it.
There it's going to stick out in your mind now every you time go. You see it.
Be looking for Climax.
There you go.
My sister lived there.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Now, this song is such an upbeat country pop vibes. Like you said, this is one that everybody wants to roll down the windows, and we need it right now. And this is just perfect timing. Perfect timing.
I think so. And it, you know, it all worked out perfectly. And I knew that this is a song that I wanted to be out next, but didn't know that the world would need it right now. So it was just, you know, this great, happy disaster that sort of collided. And now, you know, I hope that people can kind of remember the good times pre-COVID, if anybody can actually remember that, but also kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel post-COVID, where we can all get together and wake up so hungover on Monday morning that, you know, we had a good weekend.
Did you find it easier to tap into your creativity this past year?
Actually, I have, and I know a lot of my friends, it took them a little while coming, you know, out of that initial shock with the pandemic, but I was working as a substitute educational assistant back home, and I was getting a little bit tired just trying to navigate, like, working a, you know, pretty much a full-time job and then coming home and trying to be creative. So it kind of gave me this sort of relief from the job. School's closed, you know, which is obviously a sad thing, but it gave me a bit of a bittersweet opportunity to really take a look at life and be like, okay, this is the time that I get to hone in on music alone, stay home all day long and write songs and just get creative. And so I was setting up Zoom rights with friends like Ryan and a duo I work with a ton here called Golden West, and Mariah Stokes, tons of rights with Genevieve Fisher. Just we were all tapping into that. We were like, okay, we've got the time now. Let's get creative. And so we really utilized that extra time for sure. And there came to be a lot of really great songs that are being tossed up in the air right now for the next album.
I think everybody's been able to dig so much more deeper, you know, because of all the noise. Like you're saying, the noise is out of the way, and it allows you to be able to tap in where you probably wouldn't have the time, you know, because before you were working, but now you're into this full time.
And it also just like gave me that window to be like, okay, I have to apply for a visa if I want to go to Nashville, and here's the opportunity. I have the time to do that now. So mm-hmm. let's dig in and let's get this done. So, it definitely was a weird kind of in disguise time that people, you know, they rush every day, just kind of live their everyday lives. And then we're kind of given this time to just shut down and kind of relax.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to see it that way, try to put a positive spin on such a, you know, weird time. It's like, okay, here's some time to really dig in.
Well, I don't think we would have been making decisions the same, you know, as we are now. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people, when life's just going, you don't really make the decisions that are probably better for you because you're not seeing those opportunities the same. You just kind of go with the grind. And, you know, you might go out and see friends, or you might, you know, do something, go for a walk, go for a drive, just do the things that you like to do just to unwind, but you're not really facing anything. And I think that with everything that's happened in this past year, it really pushes people to push themselves outside the box. Hey, what do I really want to do? And I think that's what you did. You saw that opportunity to be able to step away, you know, from your full-time job and to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to do this. If I'm going to do it, I need to do it now.
I'm a big believer of pushing outside of your comfort zone. And I think sometimes we can kind of like settle into that comfort zone without even knowing. You could maybe think that you're somebody who pushes outside that box and, mm-hmm. and tries to challenge yourself. And I think I was kind of getting a little bit comfortable in my kind of day-to-day life and mm-hmm. sort of going through the motions. And so when I lost my full-time job, it was like, okay, here's that time to push out of that comfort zone and really grind and like find ways to even like to make money from music, even in a time where we think it's impossible to make money from music. So mm-hmm. I was working with a coach, a Music Life Monthly coach, Joe Jansen, who really was like, money comes, money goes, and money comes back. And that was huge for me because it was just kind of instilled in me to have to work a full-time job to pay for music. And I saw an opportunity to be like, no, I can make money at music and music can be my full-time job. So I'm really grateful for that time to realize that and go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's not easy. It's really, really not easy because when you're financing your own music career, and mm-hmm. everything depends on that. So when you're writing the music, then, you know, the next part is to finance being able to go to doing the radio tours. And then,
exactly.
you know, getting yourself to the festivals. It's really expensive for artists. And I don't think a lot of fans realize that.
As a small artist, too, as an independent small artist, that, you know, we kind of take those big festival gig opportunities as you know, an opportunity to get that association, you know, with Cavendish Beach Music Festival. It costs us money to, you know, go play most of the time, you know, but it's still, you know, you see that as a huge opportunity and you're like, okay, this is something that could help my career. So you take the hit, you know, mm-hmm. it's worth it. And hopefully it leads to something bigger next.
Well, we know that it will. We know that it will. Now you've got a new music video at the end of this month, right?
At the end of next month, we're going to be shooting it here in a week, and I'm working with a Canadian director as well. I'm, you know, trying to keep those roots from home, and Ryan Nolan, who's done a lot of The Wreck Laws, Dave Eagleson, Sons of Daughters. I met him through Crystal, and really excited to be working with him. We're just in the process of getting it all set up and our location set up, and finally going to have a full-blown music video for this single. I'm really excited.
Can you give us an idea of what the whole feel of the video is going to be?
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna have a, you know, bonfire, backyard fire, just, you know, some friends having some drinks. I recently partnered with Provincial Vodka, mm-hmm. and they're a good, you know, homemade Saskatchewan vodka that my family's been drinking for the last couple years, and
we and all have.
Yes, you have. Amazing. I just kind of reached out to them. I'm like, hey, I have a song that I think would be, you know, a good fit, and I want to support local, and I want to, you know, team up with you guys, and they were excited because they're trying to get their vodka here in Tennessee. They've got a rep here who brought me cases of
vodka. Yeah. Share.
So the video is good. I'll send some to you.
Yay.
See, we're doing it
Money's
wrong.
Money's working out well.
We're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
We need a new sponsor. We need new sponsors.
There we go. We could do it
that
way.
Hey, hit them up. They're amazing.
Doing it wrong.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
And yes, so we do work for profit, for products. We do work for products. Yeah.
Congratulations on that. That's pretty amazing news.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so... we're going to be kind of, you know, drinking a lot of provincial vodka that day, I think. But it's definitely just going to be that feel-good type of, I feel like Canada meets Nashville. We're going to be shooting in a bar here, and it's, you know, it's just going to be so much fun. And I've met a lot of good girlfriends here that are all going to come in and be in the video. And we're going to be safe, obviously, and keep everybody safe from all the COVID that is out there still in this world. But it's just going to be so much fun because I think it's going to help us sort of forget. And I think the video is going to help people forget about, you know, everything that's going on in the world.
Everybody's looking forward to it. Even during, we've got to go through this a little bit longer, just being around a bonfire, you know, is
exactly
pretty great feeling right now. It's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah. It's like soothes the soul, you know, being around a fire. And hanging out with your friends, having a guitar around the fire and singing songs is just good for the soul. So we're seeing that good time weather here. So we've had a couple fire opportunities already, but I'm sending it your way.
Okay, please do. We need that manifestation here because we're still sitting at -7.
I pray for you. I will pray for you.
We need that good vibe right now. One of these days, we're going to sit around a campfire together and we're going to play guitar.
Yes, I'm so in for that, for sure.
Now tell everybody where they can find your latest news and music.
Yeah, well, I'm on all the socials. It's at Shantaya Music. Shantaya is difficult to spell. It's Shantaia Music on all platforms. Same with my website, shantayamusic.com.
Perfect. And we want to remind everybody for Spotify, the more that you share, the more that this playlist goes up for her. And it's amazing what that will do. So share.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Not a problem. Now, burning questions. Are you okay for that?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay.
Good luck.
Monday morning. Here we go.
Good luck.
Okay. Biggest life lesson so far?
To be proactive, not reactive.
Good answer. Good answer.
My dad says it to me all the time.
Oh, see, he's going to be saying, see, it might have bugged you when I was younger and when you're younger, but say, you know what? You're going to remember this. It comes
my
around.
My follow-up would be, it is what it is. My dad also always says that.
Live in the moment. Okay. First song that you ever learned to play?
It was, what's that song? The Lord took away from me to go to heaven, so I gotta be good so I can see my baby when I leave this world. What's the name of that song?
John Stumps.
No.
I can sing it.
Last Kiss.
What's that?
Last Kiss.
Last Kiss, yes. That was the first song that I kind of taught myself. My cousin Riley was teaching me how to play, and he didn't think I was kind of ready to learn a song yet. And I was kind of like, I'm going to show him. And I like learned the chorus to it and brought it to my next lesson. I was like, look, I learned a song. He's like, okay, you're ready. So but then it was like, a ton of jar from there and a lot of old rock tunes.
Do you remember which version you learned?
Oh, John, no, I don't.
You just learned it.
One of the follow-up songs to that was "Knocking on Heaven's Door" doors by it was the Aerosmith version, okay. I believe.
Bob Dylan wrote that song. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Last Kiss song, the Canadian band that did it was called Wednesday. Mm-hmm. That was their name.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Yeah. That's right. Cool. Yeah. This song was in my head, and then I just was like, hey, Riley, look what I can play.
Favorite thing to do in your downtime and favorite thing to do with your girlfriends?
Okay, favorite thing to do in my downtime is either hang with my dog, who's back home in Canada, or go riding my horse. That's probably, so Dally's back home and Cyrus is back home. So whenever I get the opportunity to bring them here, I will.
it's something that I love. Horses are just my thing. They're my spiritual animal. And
I agree. I've been riding since I was, 3 years old. My mom put me in riding lessons, and then my grandpa gave me my first horse that was not rideable and then sold him on me. And I was so mad. And then he gave me the money to buy my first horse. So funny. I grew up riding. So, okay. Things I want to do with my friends, my girlfriends. I mean, just a chill night in with some wine, maybe around a fire, I like the chill kind of hangout, but not really one to go party at a club.
Hey, chill Shantaya.
Yeah.
See, that's manifested. There'll be a bottle of wine that says that, right?
I agree. Yes. Mm-hmm. That should definitely be a wine name.
Now, with everything that you've done, because you started so early, if you knew then what you know now, what advice would you give a young Shantaya?
Oh, wow. probably to just stay confident in yourself, your writing ability, but to keep writing. I've had some pretty down moments thinking that my writing wasn't good enough. And I think being here in Nashville really helped build that confidence. And I've learned that I'm actually pretty good at it. So being able to go back and tell teenage Shantaya to keep writing and not let anybody tell her that she's not good at it.
Very, very good. Now here's the best one of all of them.
Okay.
What is your most useless talent?
My most useless talent. Oh my goodness. move their nostrils or stuff like that. I don't know. I can't do anything. I don't know. I'm really good at pool or bowling, which sometimes comes in handy because when the guys think they're going to beat me at it, I'm like, ha 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 ha. You don't know what's about to hit you, but maybe that's kind of a useless and also useful talent. So I feel like I didn't quite answer your question, but that's as good as it's going to get.
Well, I'm telling you, because every time somebody tells me, if it's moving nostrils or something, you have to send me the photo, the little video of it. And we put it up on the article for Now in the Magazine.
Oh, man. Well, then I'm glad I didn't tell you I could do that. But you did.
Oh, come on.
I said that it's what everybody else can do. And I just don't know how to do it. It's not my thing.
All right. Well, thank you for playing Burning Questions. Now, you have got Whiskey Jam show coming up, right?
Yeah, we're working on a Whiskey Jam show. I just played an affiliate show with Whiskey Jam called New in Town, and was really cool because it was a bit of a writer's round sort of esque kind of situation. And it kind of opened up a couple doors, and my manager got talking with the organizer of Whiskey Jam, and it sounds like we're going to be booking a date. And I mean, Luke Combs, Michael Ray just played the other night. It's some of the big names show up and play Whiskey Jam at Winter. So I'm really stoked for that.
Oh, I bet. Well, you are there now. And as I said, you've earned your spot. So we want to remind everybody to download Had a Good Weekend and share it. Be able to put it onto your playlist and just pass it around. Make sure that if you haven't heard it on your local radio station, just call them. Call your country radio stations and they will play it. It gets added and it makes such a big difference and helps Shantaya out. So have a good
100%.
Weekend. Yay.
Yay.
Yay, yay. We are looking forward to that. It's Monday and we're already looking for the weekend. So trust me.
Yes. We always are.
Now, just a quick note, because a lot of people, have asked this question when they knew that we were having you on the show. You have been asked to be on The Voice. How many times now?
Well, actually, technically twice. I was scouted just out of high school, had a girl named Katie Hatch just reach out to me via email and said she came across my videos on YouTube, wanted to have me audition for the show, kind of gave me this invite to the private call auditions, and then we had a phone call and told her I was, you know, living in Canada and a Canadian citizen, and she was like, oh, you know, that's kind of an issue, and I was like, oh, you know, darn. And then about a year and a half ago, I was just sitting on my couch one night and got a message on Instagram from a scout who came across the video and was excited and was having me on the show. And at the time, they were allowing for that season 01 visas. So that's kind of what sparked my kind of mind and potentially applying for an 01 visa. But the time frame was just like way too crazy. And so I did go ahead and still got the O1 visa, and I'm hoping that that opportunity will present itself again.
You have to get in touch with Jay Coot. We just had him on the show, and he was the winner for Kelly. And he's
got, oh, okay.
Yes. So you got to reach out to him.
Yes, I definitely should. Is he a Canadian as well?
No. He's okay. Not, but he won the Country Artist with Kelly, and he just released a song with Kelly. It's an amazing, amazing song, but what a humble, amazing human being, but a great songwriter. And I think,
oh, amazing. I should definitely get in touch with him for sure.
Yeah. Cause he's out in Nashville, right?
Okay. I mean, we're all here. Let's have a party. Let's do it.
Yes. Mr. Jay Coot. And I'm sure he would welcome you with open arms. I can't imagine him doing anything else. So he's such a great guy. Well, thank you so much for coming onto the show, and congratulations for your two noms. We are looking forward to that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I can't wait. The show is going to be happening in April.
Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to it. And everybody, I think voting's still open for that, right?
Voting is closed.
Is it closed
for
now?
Peer nominations, but Fans Choice just opened up, which I'm not nominated for, but you can go go and vote for your favorite one in that category. A good friend of mine, Jordan Pollard, and Samara Young, they're nominated as well.
Well, I am so happy for you. I am so happy that you're on this journey now in Nashville, and we are so excited to be able to see what you can do. Can you come back and share some music with us sometime soon?
Of course, anytime. I would love to.
Well, it's been great having you, and we will wish you, send all kinds of manifestations out there that this video is going to be amazing, and we know this song is going to be absolutely incredible for you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys having me on today.
If I can just add here, if you go to the website, there's a merch page, and you've got some pretty cool stuff there. You've got a Slouch t-shirt. You've got the Shantaya hats as well, and a signed and customized poster as well, which is pretty cool.
And we actually have some more fun stuff. My mom got into Cricut design and making, we've been making customized merch. So
nice.
We've got... Yeah, I still have to add it to the website, but we're just finishing up some brand new Had a Good Weekend merch. So really excited for that.
You'll have to send us something so that we can put it on when we're doing the show, and we'll take some snapshots for you.
Oh my gosh, 100%. I can definitely send you. You'll have to give me your address and I'll send some stuff for sure.
You should do a Had a Good Weekend Tylenol jar label.
The hangover.
Here is your hangover cure.
A label for a Tylenol or Advil jar. Yeah.
See, that's you just amazing. Have to reach out to Tylenol and to Advil. See, that would work as your next sponsor, right?
Yeah, that would be great. Hey, have the provincial vodka, and then in the morning, have Tylenol and Advil.
You got them covered. Yeah, everybody covered. All right.
Thank you so much.
Oh, we look forward to seeing you and having you back on the show again.
Get that new merch on your page soon.
I will, for sure. You got it, 100%.
Thank you once again, Shantaya, and keep writing the songs that inspire and lift us all.
Oh, thank you so much, Kim.
Okay, you take care of yourself.
Take care. Thanks, guys.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Shantaya. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Music's Journey with Canadian country singer-songwriter Shantaya with her new single, had a good weekend. Download it, share it, and add it to your playlist and all your streaming platforms, especially Spotify. That'll really help Shantae out quite a bit. And don't forget to request Shantae's new single, Had a Good Weekend, at your local country radio station. We have a fantastic week of artists for you guys with Canadian rock legend Alan Free will be here to talk about Glass Tiger's show coming up on March 21st at the Alma Combo. And we have Lindsay L. that's going to be here. We got Jade Eagleson, Sean Carson. We have Maya Zita, Kayla Diamond's going to be here, as well as Don Merrill, and so many more. We really look forward to it, and thank you guys once again for all of our international listeners who have tuned in and welcomed us into your cars and into your homes. We really appreciate all that you do to be able to be a part of our show, so we really appreciate you. Go on and make some great memories. Live in the moment, because every moment counts. So we'll see you guys tomorrow on Music's Journey. I'm your host, Kim Sear.
A great big thank you to Shantaya for chatting with us today. The Music's Journey podcast is brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com. You can listen to all our podcasts on Amazon Music, Google Podcast, Spotify, TuneIn, Alexa, Podcast Addicts, Deezer, Player FM, Podchaser, Pocket Cast, and more. Our theme song is titled I Can Tell by the band Emergence. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of your host, Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey.